Hi, and welcome to Why Did You Make Me Watch That? With me, Holly Frew.
And me, Ronan Warfield.
Hi, Ronan.
Hey, Holly, how are you?
Good. I'm turning my phone on silent. You were very good and did it before we recorded, but...
Yes. But you did it on air, because,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, just to show content. I have a phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm down with the cool kids and their phones.
It's true. So how was London?
Great. London. Yeah.
In it.
Covent Garden and Piccadilly Circus. Mind the gap.
Yeah. All right, Gavna.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a lot of that. I'm just literally thinking of like other sort of funny colloquialisms.
Are you trying to think of something that you didn't do that didn't involve?
That didn't involve what?
A pub, which I imagine was not a lot.
What'd you say?
Didn't involve the pub. Oh. I said you're trying to imagine stuff that are you trying to think of things that didn't involve the pub?
Not many things that didn't involve a pub, to be fair.
No, that's fair.
I mean, there were restaurants, but there was still drink involved. So, I mean, essentially, it was just an excuse to eat around our drinking.
Yes.
Excuse me. But yeah, it was good to be out, just different kind of change of scene. Mm-hmm. But then it's always just the way COVID is now. It's like, oh, do I have my 5,000 documents and... do I have my other documents then even coming home, which I was like, oh crap, because I was kind of more preoccupied with actually having my stuff to go there as opposed to coming back home. But I was only there for 2 nights, so it was not too bad. And I got some antigen tests from the chemists for free, because they give you them over for free over in the chemist there.
Of course they do. And over here, not so much.
Not so much at all. Yeah, and in a pack, you get 7. Whereas I think over here, I think it's 5 in a pack is the most you can get. I could be wrong.
Money to be made. Some sucker in Ireland will be making it, believe me. Or some sucker in Ireland will be paying for it.
Yeah. They're making it somewhere else.
Yeah. Big time. So, yeah. So that's good. Yeah. You had good fun. You got out of the country, which is
I got out of the country. It was raining a little bit one of the mornings, but it was okay. And it wasn't like, you know, it was only very light and it was only for like a few minutes. But so looked out in that sort of sense too. And also smooth. It was funny when I was coming home. I mean, it's just so handy getting like a train and then the Gatwick train, whereas and you're just right in the terminal, whereas for us it's I actually was like, I'm actually gonna just get a taxi home because it was so late at night,
like, and as like for a country that's supposed to be as rich as we are, it's embarrassing that there isn't like the most basic public transport coming to and from the airport that every other modern city in the world has.
I know.
Like a train or a subway, something that's regular, cheap and there. Like you get to London and there's what, 12 options for you? Like there's a train every, what, 10 minutes? There's a taxis abundant. Yeah,
there's a buses. Few different trains, so depending on where you're going.
Exactly. You get to Dublin airport and it's like, oh, I have to wait in line for a taxi that will rip me off. Fantastic.
It was waiting in line. Well, I actually chose the taxi option because it was late at night. And the other option then was to get an air coach for a tenner into the city, walk to get my actual bus, and then possibly wait around half an hour for that bus and then get that bus home. So I was actually like,
outrage.
I'm just going to get a taxi because I just don't have the mental headspace to deal with like just getting... If it was early on in the evening, I would have just done the air coach and then gotten my bus. But because it was late, I was like, I'm actually not going to risk it for a biscuit.
No, it's true.
So, it was just, but it really did kind of just getting off, like, or going from one side to the other. it was just so, you know, I mean, I know people complain about trains over in the UK and how they're frequently delayed and stuff, but I was there when there was a delay. It was delayed for about like 3 minutes. And
yeah,
it was
so
like,
it's not even like, yeah.
Another 3 minutes.
In Ireland, they would say delayed 20 minutes and then never show up.
And never show. Yeah. I know. Or like one was delayed and then it showed up on the other platform and everyone started freaking. And then it was just like, you know, but actually it's literally like was just, you know, the opposite side. So it wasn't like you had to walk really far. So
yeah,
it was fine. But yeah, so it is. It's they have a much better system over there, you know.
I'd pick a spot on the map and you'll see a city with a better transport system than Ireland. Like just like blindly stab at the map there. That's better than Ireland. Like that's better than Dublin.
It's like, oh, Kuwait. Oh yeah. They have.
Yeah. It's been bombed to shit, but it's still better than ours.
Still has a better public transport, frequent buses. It just totally popped in and out of my head there and I can't remember. The metro line. So the one linking, the one that we're supposed to, like an underground.
Yes.
That's going to be linking up the city.
That's already cost 100 million and there's literally nothing to show for it. Like, and it will not appear for another 20 years. That one, is that what you mean?
Have we actually spent 100 million on it already?
There's something like that spent on consultants and planning and all that shit and PR, and it's just an absolute disgrace. It's just basically politicians paying their friends who happen to own consultancy firms.
But yeah, because like there's not without a shovel being dug in the ground.
All it is a couple of plans made. That's it. That are then now never going to come to fruition. Should they're saying 10 years. It'll never happen.
A consultancy agency and just.
I'm thinking so.
What's your qualifications to run this agency? Well, let me tell you, I'll take all your money and I'll give you little in return.
You're hired.
Thank you. Sold. Yeah. I know.
So that Metro North line, what were we going to say?
No, I was just like thinking.
Oh, that's our version of
we'll probably be long gone by the time that actually comes into play.
Yeah. Like, and it's gas because there's one of the years on Reeling in the Years that shows.
When they first talk about it?
They first announce it and it has like this really crummy 3D animation that they keep showing. And I'm like, that's it. That's what we have to show for the money that they spend so far. That 10-year-old animation. So, yeah.
Oh, that's yeah, I saw that.
So, yeah. The underground bit where it's...
What is the transport for Ireland? Is that what they created during that time?
Nothing but a sneaky transfer of wealth from taxpayers to rich people. That's all it was.
Yes.
But anyway.
Anyway.
That was your weekend. Good stuff.
Yeah. I also just want to mention that I was having some oven chips earlier today because I was craving. Do you know what I was actually craving? I was craving McDonald's chips. And I was like, going out.
You went for the polar opposite of what a McDonald's chip is. A crummy oven chip.
I know. But they were just in the freezer. I never buy them. I just steal it, like my folks. And the oven chips went in the oven. And I just like remembered how long the whole process takes because it's, you know, 20 minutes to do the oven. And then they literally took like 25 minutes to cook. And I was like, oh my God, feeling faint. But
wasting away.
Then you piped up and you were like, why don't you do the air fryer?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the deal is with my air fryer, but if I put like more than you can only fill it up, it feels like an inch. With food.
No, it sounds like you got a bum deal of an air fryer now. We have an air fryer, which we bought about 5-6 months ago. You can put a full plate of chips in it.
Yeah.
And it cooks them in about 10 minutes, golden brown, and they're gorgeous. And it's a game changer.
But say it's you and Lisa then. So one person has to wait until the other plate.
No, like a full plate, as in like nobody eats a full plate unless they're having it by themselves. Yeah. It's like two portions of chips for two adults. Like that's what it does.
Wow.
Yes.
You must send me a picture of your air fryer, because
I will.
I think the one I have then must be some kind of, I don't know, shit
tiny
version.
A shit one. Yeah, yeah. No, ours is a big one, and we cook everything in it.
Do you?
Last week we did salmon and all. Like, it was brilliant.
Oh, really?
You get the salmon and you put your whatever sauce you want on top, and then you wrap it up in tinfoil.
You must wrap it up.
Yeah, and it's gorgeous. And it took about half the time it would take in the oven. So, yeah.
Wow.
A good air fryer is a game changer, people.
Okay. Who are you sponsored by, Ron? Jesus.
It's your Tefal air fryer in Paris right now.
Sponsored by Tefal. Yeah. Is it actually Tefal?
It is Tefal, yeah.
Interesting. Not an ad.
Not an ad, no. I have not been paid
to say that. Just a general recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
But that would actually be amazing if we were sponsored by Tefal, because in fairness, they do like...
If you were sponsored, stop. That'd be great.
They do great kitchenware.
They do.
And other implements, I'm sure. They do cooking accessories, actually. They do like the, kind of...
You're giving me a stabbing motion there. Like,
I know, because I'm like... You know, for flipping things and...
Oh, the thing. I know the thing you're talking about. Yeah, I can't think of the name.
But I can't think of the name. What the hell?
I know what you're talking about. It's fine.
Yeah. The flippy thing.
Yeah, the flippy thing. Yeah, for flipping things.
The bloody... What's it called?
It's okay. We'll come back to it.
Okay. Right. And what about your week? Did you have a good week?
Yeah, it's grand. Nothing happened. It was grand. Actually, I do have a thing to follow up on. Do you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about Halloween, the remake?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or
the sequel. And I'd said that I would reserve the final word on how good or bad the sequel was.
You watched the 2018.
So I watched 2018 Halloween and I said it was very good. But I only found out after I watched it that the sequel was coming out literally within days of me having watched it.
Yes.
So I said... The only reason that I liked it was because it bookended the film nicely. It appeared to basically kill off Michael Myers pretty definitively. They left him in a burning house with no chance of escape. And I was like, good, that's a good film with a good ending. I like it.
Yeah.
Then I heard about the sequel and I'm like, unless the sequel's really good, they've ruined it again. So I did watch the sequel this week and I can report that they have ruined it. Unfortunately, the sequel is a big pile of poo.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like they completely undone all the good work they did in the first film. It's a direct sequel. It happens literally, picks up where the first one left off. In that
literally the burning building, like
the burning building. He ridiculously escapes from that house. He kills 7 or 8 firefighters with no effort. Now, bearing in mind, this is someone who's been shot, stabbed, had his hand blown off. In the first film. These are all injuries that are still there. And been run over by a car.
And smoke inhalation.
Yeah. And burns. He's got a burn to the mask. So he's obviously suffered some sort of burn. He escapes. Kills 7 or 8 firefighters. No problem at all. Goes through the whole film killing dozens of people. And then at the end, they just basically tell you that he can't be killed for no reason. So yeah, he's turned into some evil thing that they can't kill, and there's no explanation given really. I assume it'll be in the third film, which is already made and coming out next Halloween, which I'll only watch to see what ridiculous reason to round it up.
Yeah,
yeah, and I'm sure they'll come up with a ridiculous reason to keep him alive so they can keep making money off this. But yeah, no, very disappointed. I thought they'd done something different.
I bet you it's something like he was doing drugs trials or some kind of scientific experiments. And that's what the reason I bet you they'll come up with, that he can't.
If they even bother. I don't think they'll even bother now. They were so lazy with the second one. But I'm sitting there thinking, if this guy is this strong and invulnerable and can't be killed, why was he sat there in that pretty low security mental hospital for 40 years?
Yeah.
Why didn't he just kill his way out there years ago? You know?
Yeah. And that's so true. Yeah. And like, because I mean, whatever they were doing, the journalists that were interviewing, like they were just able to kind of be near him and there was no big like Hannibal Lecter cage or and he should have been in a Hannibal Lecter cage.
Yeah, he had a couple of chains on him, which we now can see that he would probably easily break out of. Like,
yeah.
So yeah,
I actually, because when I watched that movie, it was sort of a little golden spot after the movie. So, the 2018 one, I saw it like in 2019. Now I'm sure they probably had done a lot of production of the next ones at that stage, but when I watched it, I just had no idea there were more coming. So I just thought that was a finished product, a single.
That's what I was hoping it would be. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why, as a single product on its own, it would have been great.
Mm.
But they've done it. They've just given into the money, and yeah.
Interesting, though. Mm. Well, that'll probably that other one then will probably be out Halloween next year.
Mm. Because the one that was just released was supposed to be actually released last year, but because of COVID.
Yeah.
They more or less filmed the two of them back to back.
The three of them.
The three of them. Well, no, the second and the third one were back to back. The first one was a while before, I think. There was a few nice bits of it that I liked, that they brought back the cast from the original film, the actual cast members, to play their same parts.
Okay.
Because it kind of like speaks to a mob mentality thing in the film that I watched today. And it's basically just all the same actors playing the roles they did back then. Like, saying they've been terrorized by this guy for 40 years. And you're like, no, you haven't. He's been sitting in the hospital for 40 years. And the only one who's been giving a shit is your woman, Jamie Lee Curtis. Everyone else didn't give a crap until tonight. So, yeah. Yeah, didn't like it. Don't recommend.
Okay. Good to know if anyone is fancying a bit of a Halloween watch.
Mm. Well, just because...
If their Christmas movie'd out.
Because the first one was so strong, so...
Yeah. No, that's good. And I feel like it's a good warning.
I would say so, yes. So we move on to the films we had.
Yeah.
The actual films. Yeah. I think it's your turn to go first. Yeah.
So I watched... Oh, yeah. So you gave me Cloud Atlas and Children of Men, but actually... Yes.
Netflix strikes again.
Netflix totally struck out again. And they are both not on Netflix, but do you know what? I realized Children of Men is on Peacock, and that's why it was taken off
Netflix. Fair enough.
Yeah. And
Peacock is the NBC Universal streaming. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in America only. Cloud Atlas is on Disney, I think. Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
But because Children of Men, I couldn't find it at the time. You also suggested Deja Vu on Disney, and I actually went with Deja Vu.
Oh, okay, interesting.
And so Deja Vu was made in 2006. I think this is like we seem to be watching a lot of films from 2006.
I know, that's the second week in a row now we're hitting the 2006 buzz. Interesting.
Yeah. And I totally didn't even realize it was 2006 one. I didn't look up anything about it. To be honest, it was like the first one I found. So I was like, okay, fine. There it is there.
Yeah, there it is. Grab.
So it was made in 2006 and it is a science fiction action film. It's not massively action.
That's more thrillery, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, more science. Yeah, there is a bit of action in it, but it's not overtly. It stars Denzel Washington and Val Kilmer. And then you'll see Paula Patton in it and a few other heads that you'd recognize as well. So Denzel Washington is an ATF agent. So that stands for, because I wasn't too sure, but it's the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives. And he is sent to investigate a a bomb. Basically, at the very the scene at the very beginning is there's a bomb. It's in New Orleans, and there's a bomb on a ferry.
A ferry, yeah.
And so then you see this bomb exploding, loads of people like obviously losing their lives. It's Mardi Gras, so there's like a bunch of people kind of celebrating and having a good time and just, you know, being, I guess, a bit merry on the ferry.
Nice.
I didn't even mean to do that, but it just came out.
You're a poet, you didn't know it.
I know. So, Denzel has been sent out to investigate this bomb. And they pretty much think it was planted by a domestic terrorist.
Yeah.
Then we meet Val Kilmer. So he's the FBI special agent, and he's kind of leading the investigation. And but while this is happening, an unidentified woman, her body is partially burned and she's pulled from the river. And then, yeah, so that's kind of like, but so Denzel Washington has kind of gone to investigate her body, or just to have a look at it, because he was sent to actually, yeah, because it looked a bit weird or whatever. So, he was sent to investigate it, and then he realized that this woman's body was washed up an hour before the bomb went off, and that he kind of feels like her remains are the clue, or they hold a clue, or her person, her character holds a clue to the possible bomber.
Mm.
So, basically then Denzel Washington explains his theory that there is a connection there to Val Kilmer and Val Kilmer's team of scientists, and they're all very intrigued by this. And then they show him this kind of new video technology, is what they kind of sell it to him as.
They label it as like a satellite effort,
yes,
don't they? Yeah,
like,
yeah,
a satellite
that has
navigation,
a live feed. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So basically, they can look back in the past 4 days and literally look at history played out like a filmed piece, like as if, you know, you're watching a movie on the last 4 days. And
it's a constant stream, isn't it? Like, it's just,
yes,
it's literally exactly 4 days in the past that's just streaming in from this whatever satellite.
Yeah. And so as today's time goes on, it'll go back 4 days. So like, you know, if today is Monday, it'll go back and show us what happened on Thursday. And then if it's Tuesday, it'll go show what happened on Friday. Do you know? So it's, yeah, it does it that way. And yeah, so at the time they kind of label it as a sort of, oh, this is like imagery from like all these satellites, and they pick up all these things.
Yeah, yeah.
So Denzel then goes and hones in on Paula Patton's character, because he's like, she's definitely something to do with it. And it looks like she could have been maybe kidnapped, because they found like duct tape residue on when they were doing the autopsy. So she could have been potentially kidnapped by the bomber and all that kind of stuff. And so then he realizes, when he's looking at this, when all the scientists are, you know, playing this sort of Snow White system, the 4 day, looking back 4 days previous, honing in on her, Denzel Washington's character kind of like becomes a bit sus, because they seem to be able to do a lot with this technology, and it's a little bit more than just satellite imagery. And then he realizes they actually have discovered a type of a wormhole which allows them to literally pass through time.
Yeah.
So it's not just a kind of
I love the bit where he's like, he's starting to suspect the paper? No, he's starting to suspect and he shines the laser pen while they're looking at Paula Patton. He shines the laser pen at the screen and she reacts to the laser pen. And then he realizes they're not just looking at the past. They're not looking at 4 days in the past as a playback. It's the actual past. Like,
And yeah, and they can actually pass objects. So light would be in the object in that scenario. Right. And they've essentially could change the past. And that's kind of how this plays out then, because Denzel, I think he basically kind of falls in love with this girl as well.
A little bit.
And so he's like, well, we can potentially, because I think the scientists at the beginning just want to kind of know who the killer is, who the bomber is, and just solve the crime. But like, I think this Denzel kind of, you know, being such a kind of a good guy, he wants to actually go in and just use this new technology to prevent it and to save the girl as well. So, I don't really want to go too much after that because there's an amazing scene where he uses this technology and it's kind of like, you know, the Google glasses.
The rig. Yeah.
Yeah. He's driving. Goes out into his car and because he kind of goes between two worlds in a sense. So he's in the present driving the car, but then he's also wearing the glasses, which have this Snow White, which has the Snow White kind of technology inbuilt into it. So he can see what's happening in the day to day, but then also he can see what's happened 4 days previous through the lens. So that is an amazing scene as well.
Technically it's pretty good.
So basically then it just kind of tries to marry the two worlds in terms of like, he's there as a cop 4 days ahead, but then he's also trying to kind of solve this crime 4 days previous. It's like a cool time travel story. And I really enjoyed it. I kind of didn't think I would. I find it's just one of those things, it's like almost triggering to me. in that time, around 2006, around that early 2000 mark, all those films were kind of made with this yellow tinge. And it's actually a lot of Denzel Washington movies as well. It's like,
well, it's more the director Tony Scott. That was his.
Yes.
And most of his films starred Denzel Washington, especially around that time.
Yes.
But that's it. That's a real Tony Scott trademark thing, the yellow filter. Like,
yeah, he sort that's of true.
He invented that more or less with Top Gun and stuff. So,
but it's very it's just kind of like all of those, but like Tom, like what you call it, Top Gun like was brilliant as well, and The Last Boy Scout, like that's one of my favorite 90s films, But yeah, I actually really did enjoy it. I really didn't think I would at the beginning. It has like a good bit of everything in it, apart from maybe comedy. And yeah, it was a good watch, and definitely probably, you know, it's quite fast paced, but it is 2 hours. And I was kind of thinking, the only reason I thought it was like dragging on a little bit was because I probably watched it too late. I started watching around 9 and I was just feeling a bit tired. But actually, if I watched it a bit earlier, I think I wouldn't have noticed the time, because it is quite like, there's so much story there. Maybe the technical details kind of washed over my head a little bit, but I don't think they're necessary. you know, they're not necessary for the storyline. You don't have to get
it. And like, it's all far-fetched and stuff, but it all looks very convincing on screen. Like, and
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in no way, shape or form near that sort of machine learning.
No, but like in the context of the film, you absolutely buy it because they do a great job of presenting it. Like,
yeah.
I'm glad you like that one.
Yeah.
It's one of Val Kilmer's last starring roles, actually. He got throat cancer shortly after this film was made, and now he can't talk. He doesn't act anymore.
Can he actually not talk?
No, he can't actually talk anymore.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently it's destroyed his vocal cords, whatever the cancer he had.
Oh my God. I'm just looking at it now, and it's he's like 61.
Al Kilmer is now, is he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's actually in one of the films I'm going to give you as well.
Oh, cool.
But I think that was actually before this one was out, or maybe it was around the same time. Anyway, so.
So, your films. Yes, my films. Excuse me. So, your choices that you gave me were Stat Let's Flats.
Yes.
Which is a Channel 4 original comedy. Or Last Christmas, which is the Emilia Clarke Christmas film. And I went for Last Christmas.
Oh, so I did. Last Christmas.
Yes, yes. So if the title doesn't give it away, Last Christmas is it's set at Christmas, but again, it's not really about Christmas.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to you last week. I was like, it's not a super, you know.
Yeah, it's not spinning on Christmas like all the other classic Christmas films. But anyway, it leans heavily on the musical stylings of Mr. George Michael, who I wouldn't be the biggest fan of, but it didn't actually detract from this film. It was fine.
Yeah.
They obviously play the song Last Christmas to death in many of its various forms that it runs in this film. But we go quickly over the story. So basically, you've got Emilia Clarke, who we all know from Game of Thrones, and what else she's been in?
She's a household name.
The Terminator film and the Star Wars thing. So she is Kate, or Katerina. She lives and works in London. She is an aspiring singer and actress, but she's working a dead-end job at a year-round Christmas shop. So that's not a Christmas shop just sprung up at Christmas. It's a Christmas shop that's there all year round, which
sounds magical. I would imagine
it's its own special hell, to be honest with you. Imagine working there. That'd really kill the Christmas spirit.
It would be a bit overkill for you.
So she works there for Michelle Yeoh, who plays Santa, which is her character's name, who owns a Christmas shop. So that worked out nicely for her. We find out later it's just a nickname she gave herself. But so she works in this Christmas shop as an elf, and they just sell the worst Christmas crap you've ever seen in your life. It's truly horrendous stuff. It's not too bad.
I mean,
it's pretty bad. Okay. It's pretty bad, especially the Jesus with the full set of teeth, the baby Jesus. That's pretty horrifying.
Oh yeah, that was good.
But it's all in the name of comedy, of course. They all there just to make fun of it. So Katerina, or Kate, is you find out very early on that she's kind of stuck in a rut. She is basically going from friends' couches to friends' couches. She's hard drinking. She is kind of promiscuous, doesn't really have a direction in life and doesn't really care at the moment. She's basically just being kicked out of one friend's house to another and so on. And then you find out, you know, shortly after that she was recently quite sick, and that she is almost subconsciously on purpose not looking after herself. Much to the disdain of her mother, who is played by Emma Thompson, who is a Croatian immigrant who her and her husband brought Emilia Clarke and her sister to England when the war broke out in Yugoslavia. So they've been in England since they were both kids.
And her sister was from what's that comedy?
I didn't actually recognize her from anything. What was it from?
Oh, really? And let me just have a little go here. Anyway, you go on.
So anyway, so she's working in this shop anyway, and one day she sees Henry Golding, who plays Tom. Is it Tom? Yeah, Tom. She sees him outside, and he catches her eye, and they get chatting, and she finds him a bit weird and quirky, but, you know, ultimately quite charming, and she thinks nothing of it, but they sort of have a few more run-ins in and around the shop. And he's kind of an old soul on young shoulders, as they say. So he's, you know, showing her the sights of London that she normally wouldn't see. And he doesn't have a phone and he goes around a bike. So he's kind of like an old-fashioned kind of guy. But she starts slowly falling for him, and she starts slowly taking his worldview on board, and, you know, starts basically improving her own life because of it.
So he was a great influence.
So he's basically just a good influence on her, essentially, and starts having a better, more positive influence on her, and she starts obviously falling for him. I think I might go into spoilers on this one, because I can't really talk more about it without getting into spoilers. And
okay, cool. So if you haven't watched
it, now's a good time to stop. Yeah, so we'll give you a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, spoilers. So yeah, so she continues on with this relationship with himself. He seems to be very come and go and very bit flaky with his presence in her life, but she starts making improvements in her own life. She finds out that he volunteers at a homeless shelter, so she starts volunteering there too. Starts making amends with the friends that she's pissed off. She starts making amends with her mother and her sister, who they sort of had a falling out at the start of the film. And yeah, starts becoming a better person and starting looking after her life. And then, big shocker, big reveal, we find out that Tom was not real. Now, it's never made clear if he's either a figment of her imagination or an actual ghost. It's never really established what he is, but he's basically someone that's not existed. And we find out that he was killed in a bike accident the previous year, and that his heart was transplanted into her because she had some sort of illness as well that required her to get a heart transplant, which is why she was ill, and then, you know, abusing her body in the time since. So yeah, so essentially it takes the premise of the song "Last Christmas I Gave You My Heart, but the very next day you gave it away." It's basically just literally that
exact
song
line
from Henry Golding's point of view, that line made into a film. I wasn't expecting it to go that way, but you know,
yeah, that was a big shocker when I watched it. I just thought it was going to be rom-com-y kind of.
He was too good to be true. And you were sitting there thinking, this guy's, you know, got a secret, or he's hiding something, or whatever. But to find
you're like,
out that
he's going to end up having like a wife and 17.
A wife or something. And she does say that as well. Oh my God, you're married or whatever. But like, yeah, the minute she finds out that he wasn't real and that she was either, again, it's not made clear whether it's in her imagination or that she was actually being ghosted by him. thank you very much. But the other ghosted, so yeah, we don't know, it's never really made clear, but she sort of she doesn't seem all too like she is shocked, but she doesn't seem all too shocked that she kind of knew all along, sort of thing. In the back of her head. So because she's made herself a better person because of his influence, We're led to believe that this was all because she has his heart now, and that she's a better person for it. And she does say that up to that point, she had felt like the heart didn't belong to her, and that's why she kind of didn't feel comfortable in her own body, and that's why she was abusing it. But now that she does. So yeah, 2 weeks later, she is deep in the volunteering with the homeless shelter. She's a better person. She's happier. She's made amends with everyone. And yeah, she has a happy Christmas.
Aww.
And that's the film. But yeah, like I said, that was a bit of a U-turn or a bit of a left turn for the film to take, but I didn't hate it, you know?
Yeah,
obviously
yeah.
Very, very corny towards the end.
Yeah.
But,
I think
you know, what
all
do you expect
those
from this kind of film? Like, you know?
Exactly. I think it definitely, yeah, because so the big finale is like a big sort of sing-along Last Christmas.
Yeah, where she sings Last Christmas, of course, again for the fourth time in that film.
But, yeah, there is a lot. If you really hate that film, actually, that's a really good spoiler that, you know, It will spoil the film if you really don't like that song.
But it's wall to wall George Michael song. In the soundtrack, I think it's about 10 or 15 of them. Mm. And the song in the end credits is actually a brand new song, which is I didn't mind it at all. It was a bit of a banger. I was listening to it in the soundtrack afterwards. It was all right.
Okay.
So, good film. Nice Christmas film. It's a good feel-good film, definitely. It's set at Christmas, so it's no harm watching it at Christmas. It'll give you a good feeling afterwards. Yeah. Quite heavy on the drama, more than the comedy.
Yeah.
The drama stuff is good. It's well acted, it's well played out, especially with her relationship with her mother. Who?
That's what I was going to say. And even her sister as well. Like, those are sort of troubled kind of relationships. They handle them, very well. I mean, Emma Thompson wrote it.
She did. I was looking it up. She wrote it with her husband, Greg Wise. And it was directed by Paul Feig, who would be primarily known for Bridesmaids and Spy and the Ghostbusters, the female Ghostbusters film. So, this is a big change of direction for him as well. And, it looks great. I have to say, it's very well shot. It doesn't make it look like a ridiculous Hollywoodized Christmas Eve thing, but it makes it look like an absolute great looking city at Christmas, which it is. So, anyone who's been to London will tell you when you go down the streets, they're all lit up. It looks fab. It looks great. Shot great. Didn't hate anything about it. So I'd give this a recommendation, definitely based on that. Very corny at the end, but it turned the corniness because it kept you going till then,
I totally agree. It kind of it was sort of a different, like with the holiday or whatever, it kind of like it is pretty much corn a lot of the way through. Whereas like with this one, it's sort of a different vibe. And then it kind of adds the corny at the end.
Yeah, yeah. But that, like I said, at that point, it's earned it, so you don't feel so bad about it.
That's true.
I'm glad you made me watch it.
Cool. Nice one. I'm surprised because that could have gone either way with this one, kind of. You know, you could have either like totally hated it or liked it. So, I'm glad.
No, it earns props for the. It was a bold choice to go with the ending they did. So yeah. It gets my respect for that.
And like anything's better than, as we've already mentioned, what did I call last week's podcast? This is very unprofessional. I should absolutely know exactly.
Love Actually. That's what you're trying to say. Love Actually
is a terrible film. Yeah. That's what I actually called.
It is. Full of terrible people.
That's what I actually called the episode last week. Cool. So, do you have choices for next week?
I have yours. Go on. Give me mine first then for the crack.
I made a little note on my thing actually. And where is it? We can actually. If you've got Sky, you can get Peacock TV now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
So there's a lot of, there is a lot of option. There's a lot of good stuff on it. So.
Okay.
I can't think of the bloody name of the film. So. You can either watch MacGruber on Peacock.
Is that
Will Forte?
Will Forte, yeah, very good.
Do you know? Have you heard of it?
I have. Never seen it though.
Have you never seen it? Okay.
No.
Because I actually watched it there today because I was like, I have to give Ronan something that I've watched. So, and because I realized that we actually have Peacock on Sky. So, Peacock. MacGruber or The Guilty with Jake Gyllenhaal on Netflix.
Guilty.
The Guilty.
Oh, yes. I've heard this, the call center thing, isn't it?
He's the emergency. He's the
999 operator.
The emergency
call. Okay, I get it.
So two very different films.
That's okay.
But, you know, both starring very attractive leading men.
Which is ultimately, you know, what I truly want.
So. Yeah. It's what you go for. So
it's what I really go for. Exactly.
Cool.
So thank you for that.
You are welcome.
So I'm just looking here now. Have you seen the film Two Night Stand?
Two Night Stand. Nope.
Nope. Okay, that's on Amazon.
Okay. Yep.
Have you seen Argo?
Argo.
Mm.
Or Fargo?
Argo. A-R-G-O.
Oh, with Ben Affleck?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen it. Okay. Bear with me.
That's okay. I'm going to Google Two Night Stand. I probably could do that for another little while, but
you could easily. You know what? I'm going to come back to you with another choice because I had a couple of choices there, but I realized that you've seen them already. So,
okay.
Oh, no, wait, here's one. Margin Call. Have you seen that one?
No. Margin.
Margin Call. Margin Call.
Margin Call. And where is that on?
It's also on Amazon.
Amazon Prime as well.
Yeah. Cool.
No, I don't even know what that is at all. I can kind of figure maybe Two Night Stand is a bit of a romantic comedy, or maybe it's a sort of a drama. But Margin Call, I don't have an absolute iota what that could
good.
Be.
Well, that's good.
Okay, well, that's everything. So if you want to comment or leave us a message on whydidyoupodcast@gmail.com or on Instagram, whydidyoupodcast, let us know ideas or different, if you disagree, you can say.
We don't mind. We can take it.
A little, not too much.
Anyone who disagrees with me, they're dead.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, they're dead.
This is what I'm dealing with, people. This is what I'm dealing with. So just to let you know.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Well, sure. Look, take care of yourselves and we'll chat to you again next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
Bye.